Today's shir is Masecht Nedarim, the Beis of an Aleph. We begin the Masecht Be'ezer Hashem. Masecht Nedarim, as the Rishayim explain, it's really difficult to understand why Masecht Nedarim isn't Seder Nashim. Masecht Nedarim speaks about Nedarim, how Nedarim are affected, which is, as we know, in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Yerideya. And therefore the question is, why is Masecht Nedarim in Seder Nashim? So the Rishonim explain that since a very important part of our Masecht discusses how a husband could be mefer, could annul the Nedarim of his wife, a father could annul the Nedarim of his daughter, which obviously are issues that afflict Nashim, and therefore Masecht Nedarim finds itself in Seder Nashim. The Rishonim go on to explain that Masecht Nedarim follows Masecht Ksubos, as in Masecht Ksubos we had a perek Hamadir that spoke about Nedarim. The Rambam goes on to explain, as we just said a moment ago, a husband has the ability to be mefer the Nedarim of his wife, but the ability to be made for the Nedarim of one's wife is only after she is your wife. So after we learned Masecht Ksubos, where we explained and learned how one becomes husband and wife, now our Masecht goes on to explain that the husband can be made for the Nedarim of a wife. Nedarim are a very interesting concept. What a neder does is that something which is actually permitted, through one making a neder, it becomes usur. And as we were going to learn in the Masechta, the articulation in the expression of how one says the neder, coupled with one's intent, is what actually makes the neder a valid neder. The Mefarshim go on to explain that Nedarim are a concept that teaches us the power of what one can accomplish, and more specifically, the power of what one's speech can accomplish. How we can have an item which is permitted, but through one making another, that item can become usur. The power of the individual, the power of what an individual can say. And the Baal HaTurim, in fact, says that the gematria of the word Nedarim is Retzeach, murder. Same concept, that if a person speaks and makes a neder, just like a person with his words can affect a neder, a person with his words could be a Retzeach, could be a murderer. We know words kill. And therefore, our Masecht teaches us how important and what is the value of one's speech. Masecht Nedarim is a very interesting Masecht in that it is somewhat different than all the other Masechtas in Shas. The terminology used in this Masecht is somewhat different than what we find in other Masechtas. Some explain because Rav Ashi, as he wrote Shas, rewrote it once and then edited it, reviewed it a second time and changed the wording. But this Masecht was a Masecht that he did not have the opportunity to review a second time and retained its original wording, which is somewhat different than the wording we typically find in Shas. In fact, we're going to show such an example in Mitzvah Shem on Daf Beis Amud Beis. As the Rishonim say, Loshin Nedarim Meshuna. The wording of Masecht Nedarim is different than the wording of other Masechtas of Shas. Others suggest that typically they did not learn Masecht Nedarim in Bavel. Masecht Nedarim was only learned in Eretz Yisrael. The reason being, as we just said a moment ago, Chazal wanted people to refrain from making Nedarim, the power of a neder, and therefore in Bavel they refrained from learning Masecht Nedarim, not to make this so popular. In Eretz Yisrael, they continued learning Masecht Nedarim, and therefore the wording of the Masechta is more similar to the Yerushalmi than other Masechtas of Shas. Another very big difference between Masechta Nedarim and other Masechtas of Shas is that the Pirush that we have on the right side of the Amud, or in the middle of the Amud, is typically the Pirush that we call Rashi. However, even though it says on top of our Gemara, on the right-hand column, that this is Rashi, actually, most Mefarshim say that this is not the Pirush attributed to Rashi. In the Mefarshim, this Pirush is called the Pirush of HaMefarish, and the Pirush that is typically used in Masecht in the Dorim is the Ran, which is a much lengthier Pirush. It's very different than the Pirush of Rashi that we have in other Masechtas of Shas. First of all, as we know, Rashi was the most concise commentator. The Ran is not as concise as Rashi. Furthermore, another two differences between the Ran and our regular Pirush of Rashi is the Rashi is not typically in the habit of asking questions from different Gemaras to Gemaras that are being learned to the Gemara that's being learned. The Ran, as in the usual style of Rishonim, is more likely to ask those type of questions. And another difference is that when Rashi says a pshat in a Gemara, he usually doesn't bring a proof or rayas to his pshat. The Ran, as is the style of most Rishonim, does bring rayas to his pshatim, to his concepts. However, the Ran, Masechta Nedarim, with the Ran, is a very geshmaka Masechta. I saw the Rav Baruch Ber, the Kamenetz of Rosh Hashiva, said that he imagines that what will be Gan Eden, what would he like to be his Gan Eden, that he should have a good shtender with a Masechta Nedarim with the Ran. That's Gan Eden, learning this geshmaka Masechta. In fact, I saw Rav Gifter once said that he was once taking a walk with Rav Avram Yitzchak Bloch, the Telz Rav, and they were learning, this was still in Telz in Lithuania, and they were learning that Smanin the Yeshiva Masechta Nedarim. And the Telz Rav told Rav Gifter he doesn't know if he will receive schar, if he will receive reward in Olam Haba for learning Masechta Nedarim, because it's so geshmak, it's so enjoyable, it just goes tremendous. So Rav Gifter told him just the opposite. Divrei Torah are supposed to be learned with enjoyment, with geshmak, as we say every morning, V'harev no Hashem alekeinu is Divrei Sayroscha. We should enjoy the sweetness of the Divrei Torah, and Masechta, we're able to enjoy the Masechta as we learn it. Certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us that we will have much schar as we embark on learning this Masechta. As the Ran tells us at the beginning of the Masechta, there are two types of Nedarim. One is what is known as Nidrei Hegdish. Nidrei Hegdish means that somebody is Magdish, an item. Says the Ran, that is not the subject of our Masechta. Hegdish, Nidrei Hegdish, we're going to learn about in Masechta, in the Kodshim, and say the Kodshim. The subject of our Masechta is Nidrei Isser. When one goes and there's an item which is mutter, and he asks, he says that he will not be allowed to have benefit from this item. Machloikas Rishonim, if one violates this nether, what is the Aveira? According to the Rambam, if one is over and one transgresses a nether, he's over the lav of lo yachil dvoroi, and he's also over the two assays. One is kekol hayotzei mipiv yase, and the Rambam also says he's over the nether, the mitzvah assay of moitzei svasecha tishmor vasisa. The Ramban disagrees with the Rambam, And according to the Ramban, when one is over a neder iser, he's only over the essay of kechol hayotz mipiv yase. There's also machloikas rishonim. If one violates a neder, does he get malchus? Some rishonim say that there is a chiyah malchus. The chinuch says that it's a lav shame by maisa, because it's a lav that came about once just speaking, and there is no chiyah malchus for being over a neder. The rishonim and our Omid also discuss a very important concept in Hilchas Nedarim, and that is the concept of hatfosa. Hatfosa means that if one makes a neder through comparing, hatfosa, extending a neder from one item to the other, meaning if there is an item that's osur b'hano, an item that's hegdish, and one goes and says, this item that I now want to asr, I want to asr from benefit, yeh kezet should be like this other item which is hegdish, that is what is known as hatfasa. Machloikas rishonim, if hatfasa is a requirement midaraisa for a neder to be effective, the Rosh holds that the ikka nedarim, the primary way a neder is valid, is through hatfasa. The Ran disagrees, and the Ran says that a neder could be effective equally the same with hatfasa or without hatfasa. However, all Rishonim agree that if one is making a neder through hatfasa, he has to be matfis specifically bedover hanoder. He has to be matfis with something which was a man-made iser. That means if there was an item that's osur b'hano, that's hegdish. Why is it hegdish? Because someone went and was magdish it. That is the way hatfasa will work. But if one will be matfis, bedover ha'osur, something which is inherently osur. For example, if one will be matfis by saying that just like a piece of non-kosher food is osur, so too this other item should be osur, that will not be example of hatfasa. Hatfasa has to be bedover hanodor, not bedover osur. And therefore even the Rosh, who we just quoted holding that hatfasa is the principal manner in which a neder is effective, will agree that if it's someone is matfis bedover osur, the neder is not effective. And the reason and the mechanics, so to speak, how hatfasa works, is that it extends the kedusha. It extends this item is hegdish, this item is also to benefit from, and extends it onto the item which I am now making neder, and which I am now also making a neder that I should not have benefit from. Begins our mesechta. Kolkini nedorim ki nedorim. Our Masechta teaches us that not only if somebody uses a language which is clearly an indication that he's prohibiting himself from having benefit from item, is the neder an effective neder, but even if he uses a kinui, which is not the typical word, it will still be effective. And the best example that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara, or what a kinui is, that instead of somebody saying the word karbon, he's being matvis and neder, and he's saying that this item should be also like a carbon, he uses the word koinim. And that is what our Mishnah says is an example of kil kinui nedarim kinedarim, it's an effective neder. And as we will learn in Mitzvah Shem in tomorrow's shir, there's a machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, what is the reason that kinui nedarim are effective. Rabbi Yochanan holds that kinui nedarim are no different than saying a language, saying a neder in a foreign language. Nedarim do not have to be said specifically in Lashon Kodesh, and therefore kinui nedarim are no different than any foreign language, and the neder is effective. The Reish Lakish disagrees, and Reish Lakish says that what kinui nedarim means is that kinui nedarim are new words that were created by Chazal. And the reason Chazal created these words is because if we were going to use the word carbon to articulate a neder, as we know, typically when one says the word carbon, he usually says afterwards the word Lahashem, as the pasuk typically says carbon Lahashem. And in order to avoid one mentioning Hashem's name in vain, Chazal said that we should use the word koinim, which is not typically attached to the word Lashem, and will prevent us from being mighty shem shemayim levatalo. However, the Rishonim explain that once Chazal taught us that there are these words that they created, koinim and the others, they have the power to affect a neder midaraisa. And the reasoning is very simple. What is a language? A language is something that's man-made. People got together and decided that this is a language, these are the words we're going to use. So if people of different countries of the world could create languages, certainly Chazal also have the right and the ability to do so. So once Chazal instituted these words have the same din as any language, and they would affect another. In fact, the Rishonim ask that according to Reish Lakish, we could understand what the chiddush is of a kini nedarim. That even though these are not typical words, the Mishnah, the Gemara teaches us that these are still effective. The question, however, is according to Rabbi Yochanan, that say that these are words that are not new words that Chazal taught us. They're no different than words of foreign languages. So why should the Mishnah have to teach us that kol kini nedarim ki nedarim? Of course, they're no different than saying a neder in English. So some Rishonim answer that although these are words, they're not words that are typically used, they're somewhat like slang, and one would think perhaps they therefore one cannot use those, that a neder is not effective in those with those words. That's what Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah, teaching, that even non-typical words, slang-like words, can affect the neder. Other Rishonim explain that the chiddush of kol kini nedarim is a very fundamental chiddush. The Gemara Masech, the Megillah, teaches us that even if one doesn't understand Lashon HaKodesh, if he reads the Megillah in Lashon HaKodesh, he is Mekayim Kriyas Megillah. And the same halacha applies regarding Krishma and Tefillah. One says Krishma even though he doesn't understand Lashon HaKodesh. One says Shemone Esrei, even though he doesn't understand Lashon HaKodesh, he's Mekayim the Mitzvah. The chiddush of our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yochanan, kol kini nedarim ki nedarim, is that these words have the same din as Lashon HaKodesh. And therefore, even if the person doesn't understand these words, the halacha is that the neder is effective as long as we understand that this was the intent of what the person said. In fact, the Ritva goes a step further. And Ritva says that even though we just said that Krishma, Tefillah, Megillah can be said in other languages, provided that the person understands the language, but Ritva says that that halacha only applies if it's in the country where that language is spoken. In other words, if a Frenchman who understands French says Krishma, Tefillah, if in another location in France, he's Mekayim the Mitzvah. And similarly, if he would make a neder in France in French, and he understands French, the neder would be an effective neder. But says the Ritva, why would be the halacha if a Frenchman who understands French says a neder in the United States where French is not spoken, even though he understands the language, the neder would not be effective? And the same halacha, says the Mishnah Berura, would be regarding Krishma and Tefillah. If a Frenchman were in the United States and he was saying Krishma and Tefillah in French, even though he understands the language, says the Mishnah Berura, since this is not the language that's spoken here, and it's not Lashon HaKodesh, which we said one is always Mekayim the Mitzvah in that language, he's not Mekayim the Mitzvah. So it continues the Mishnah, Kol Kini Nedarim K'Nedarim, V'Charomim K'Charomim. And the Ran goes on to explain that there are two types of cheirim also. Typically, cheirim means either cheirim lebedek habayis or cheirim lekahanim. Somebody says this item should be a cheirim. It may be cheirim for the bedek habayis. It goes to the Beis HaMikdash. As the Rosh explains, that type of cheirim can be redeemed. A cheirim for kahanim, the item belongs to the kahanim of that week's mishmer, and it cannot be redeemed. However, the Ran, and this is the way most Rishonim explain our Mishnah, there are Rishonim that disagree, says that our Mishnah is not speaking about that type of cheirim, just like our Mishnah is not speaking about Nidrei Hegdish. Rather, says the Ran, our Mishnah is speaking about a cheirim where one goes and says something should be a cheirim, which is another way of expressing a nether, that someone is expressing that this should be usur for benefit. And the Mishnah teaches us that even if he doesn't use the word cheirim, but he uses a kinui of the word of cheirim, the nether would be effective. V'shvuas k'shvuas. Similarly, if one makes a shvua, and he says a kinui of the shvua, teaches us our Mishnah that the shvua would be effective. The Ran says from our Mishnah, words we learn a very important halacha. The Ran says that one should not make the error to believe that a shvur requires one to say the Shem Hashem for it to be an effective shvur. For says the Ran, if the halacha were that one has to say Hashem, God's name, to be an effective shvur, then what is our Mishnah saying? The moment the person said Hashem, the shvur is effective. And it doesn't make a difference if he said the word shvur or he said a kinui of the word of shvur. It must be, says the Ran, that the word Hashem is not required. And the Ran, and that is the opinion of the Ramban also, hold that a shvur, whether it has the Shem Hashem or doesn't have the same Hashem, and under all circumstances, is effective. However, there are Rishonim that disagree with this opinion. The Rambam holds that one never brings a carbon or receives malchus if he violates a shvua that wasn't said with the Shem Hashem. The Ravid holds that shvuas ha'edis and shvuas ha'bikadon require Shem Hashem to be included. Other shvuas, the Ravid holds, do not require the shvuah to be said. However, the Ravid also holds that one will never get malchus for transgressing a shvuah if the Shem Hashem was not included in the shvuah. Rabbeinu Tam, quoted by the Ran, tries to draw a distinction between when one made a shvur by himself, that there he doesn't have to include the Shem Hashem, versus when one was mushba mipi acherim, somebody said a shvur, and the shvur was affected by him saying amen to that shvur. Ran disagree, and the basis of the Rabbeinu Tam is because where do we find this concept that a shvur could be effective when he was mushba b'acherim, where he didn't articulate the shvur, he just said amen? We find it by the Saita, where she is brought, a suspected adulteress is brought to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohen says the shvur, and all she says is amen, and in that shvur, the Shem Hashem is included. The Ran disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam. He says that shvuah happens to work that way, but who says that that's the requirement that the shvuah has to have? A shmuzba mipi acherim has to have a Shem Hashem. The Chasam Sofer, based on this Ran, based on our Mishnah, says a very interesting din. The Chasam Sofer says that here we see that not only is the Shem Hashem considered a Shem, but even if one uses a kinui of the Shem Hashem, Rachum Moru the Alma, that should also be considered the Shem Hashem. Because if not, that the halacha word that they were identical, says the Chassam Sofer, maybe Pshat in our Mishnah is that one doesn't have to mention Shem Hashem. One can mention one of the Kinuyim of Hashem. The fact that none of the Rishonim explained the Mishnah that way is a clear indication that saying Shem Hashem or saying the Kinu of the Shem Hashem is identical. Which leads to a very interesting difficulty. There is a Dorach HaShulchan, the Bnei Yisoschon, the Sefer Derech Buchuktecho. Others say that if one has a question, if he's mechuyif to say a bracha, and he doesn't want to have a shaila, if he's saying Shem Hashem Levatolo, so he shouldn't say Baruch Ato Hashem, he should say Baruch Ato Moro Da Alma. Says, and like that, if he's mechuyif the bracha, so he perhaps, b'di'evid, is mekayim the mitzvah of saying the bracha that way. If it's not mechuyiv the bracha, it will not be considered that he said Shem Shemayim Levatolo. However, based on this Chassam Sofer, Rabbi Kiv Eger says this, the Shulchan Aruch Rav holds this way, Ramosh and Igros Moshe holds this way, all say that the Chassam Sofer just taught us that saying a kinui of the Shem Hashem is considered like once said the Shem Hashem, and therefore it should not be allowed to be done. The Poskim certainly all do, however, draw a distinction when one is articulating Hashem Hashem, that the Chassam Sofer, Kivega, hold that even a kinui of Hashem Hashem is considered that he said Shem Hashem, versus when one is being, there's another aver being moichik as Hashem, erasing the name of Hashem, there the Poskim all agree that only if one of Hashem's real names, Chas V'Sholem, were erased, is one Oyved Avera Mechika Shem Hashem, not if one erases one of the Kinuyim. Continues the Mishnah, the Nazirus K'Nazirus, if one accepts Nazirus on himself, even if he doesn't use the word Nazir, he uses a Kinuy of the word Nazir, like the Rad says, he uses the word Hanazik, Piziach, it's considered that the Nazirus is effective. And again, the Rishonim discuss, here we know that if one becomes a Nazir, the halacha is when his Nazirus is completed, he has to bring Kabbonis. Say the Rishonim, from here we see that the effectiveness of a Kinui is so profound that it even can make one be Mechuyev in a carbon. However, there are Rishonim that disagree, and the Rishonim say that everybody agrees that Kinui of a Naziris is not like Reish Lakish learns, it's a new language that were made up Chazal, that it's really just like a foreign language, because it was only a language made up by Chazal. Chazal would not have the ability to create words that would create a Naziris, that would create a Chi of carbon. But again, most Rishonim learn the power of a Kinui and the all circumstances that it affects a full-fledged Naziris to even be Mechuyev a carbon. Our Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to reflect on this, now begins to explain another din, which even though the Mishnah doesn't preface it by telling us what the concept is, there is a concept of Yodus Nedarim. The definition of, as the Rosh and other Rishonim say, what Yodus Nedarim are, just like a Yad means the handle of a vessel, sometimes a person doesn't hold the vessel itself, he only holds the handle, but by holding the handle he's able to hold on to the entire vessel. Sometimes a person doesn't articulate an entire sentence of what a neder is, but even just saying a small part, a fragment of a sentence, we understand that he's affecting a neder. And therefore says the Mishnah, Oy melech averoi, if somebody uses the words mudrani mimcha, I'm making a neder that I should not benefit from you, mefushani mimcha, I'm separated from you, mechokani mimcha, I'm distanced from you, shani oichaloch, that I will not eat something of yours, shani toimloch, I won't taste anything of yours, osur, under all circumstances this is considered a neder because it's yodois nedarim. Now the Mishnah says, if somebody uses the words menudani loch, which can mean that he's in cherim, or it can mean that he's separating himself from them. So it's not clear what does he mean. If he means that he's separating himself, it would be the same concept of a Yodus Nedarim. If it means a Cherim, that has nothing to do with making a Neder. So Rabbi Kiva Yachoich Bezel HaHachmer, the way most Rishonim explain, Rabbi Kiva was really not 100% sure what the halacha would be. And Choich means he would rub, he was restless. He wasn't sure what to say. He wasn't sure what the halacha is, and therefore he was Machmer. Rabbi Kiva Yachoich Bezel LaHachmer. Begins the Gemara. The Mishnah said, "Kol kinu nedarim kinedarim," that kinuim have the same din of as a neder. Ask the Gemara, we have the first Mishnah in Masechta Nedarim that begins with the same words, "Kol kinu nazirus kinazirus," and ask the Gemara, "Mashnah gabi nazir? Why in Masechta Nazir to like a tani lekula? Does the Mishnah there not list the entire list that we have in our Mishnah about Nedarim and Charamim and Shvuas? V'mayishno gab in Nedarim, and why in Masechta Nedarim the Ketani Lekula does our Mishnah list, when it mentions the din of Kin in Nedarim, does it mention everything else, the Shvuas and Charamim and the Ziris?" And Taisus says the Gemara doesn't ask the question why in Masechta Shvuas, when the Mishnah says Kol Kinu Shvuas Keshvuas, does the Mishnah not include the halachas of the other types of nedarim? So Taisus answers, because by Shvuas, the halacha is that Yodus HaShvuas, the Yodus of Shvuas are not like a Shvuah, and therefore, since the law isn't the same, it was understood why the Mishnah in Masechta Shvuas doesn't mention all these halachas. However, by Naziris, where halacha is Yodus Naziris, Kinaziris asks the Gemara here, why doesn't the Mishnah Masechta Nazir mention all of these dinim like our Mishnah mentioned it? Answers the Gemara, "Meshum the neder v'shvuah k'siv gabei hadadi," because the pasuk speaks about neder and shvuah together. The pasuk says, "Kol neder v'kol shvuas iser." So since the pasuk speaks both about nedarim and shvuas, tani tartan. So our Mishnah, when it teaches us the halachas of nedarim, it also teaches us the halachas of Shvuas. The Kivan, the Tani Tartan, once our Mishnah taught us already the dinim of Nedarim and Shvuas, Tani Lekula, we learn all the other halachas. Ask the Gemara, if the whole point of our Mishnah was to put Nedarim next to Shvuas, so listenish Kini Shvuas pas Nedarim, so the halacha of Kini Shvuas should be taught immediately after Kini Nedarim. That's the whole point of our Mishnah mentioning Kini Shvuas. Yet we find that our Mishnah separates Kini Nedarim for Kini Shvuas with the halachas of Charamim. Answers the Gemara with a fundamental explanation of the difference between Nedarim and Shvuas. Says the Gemara, "I did the Tani Nedarim, since our Mishnah first mentions Nedarim, which, what is the principle of a neder? The mitzer cheftza alai. He takes an item and he makes that item prohibited to himself. Tani nami charamim. So our Mishnah also mentions charamim that work with the same principle. The mitzer cheftza alai, that he takes an item and he makes it prohibited. It's a cheftza. Lafuke shvua. The Shvuah works with a different principle. Shvuah works the principle, the ka'osa nafshi mechevtza, it's a gavra. The person is saying that he can't use it. The object is not the article, the item, the object is the person. And this is the fundamental difference between the Nedarim and Shvuas. The Nedarim is a chevtza, Shvuas is an issa gavra. In fact, the Ran goes on to a discussion. If one articulated a neder b'loshen shvuah, or articulated a shvuah b'loshen neder, the Ran wants to suggest that they would not be an effective neder or shvuah, because they violate the principle of what one is trying to accomplish. However, there are Rishonim that disagree and say that although it was articulated incorrectly, it would be no worse than a Yodus Nedarim. A neder articulated with Issa Gavra would be no worse than a Yodus Nedarim. And as we just learned, a Yodus Nedarim is effective, so too would a neder articulated as an Issa Gavra be effective. The Rishonim go on to explain that now that we follow the order of our Mishnah, Nedarim and Charamim, which are Issa Cheftza, Shvuas, which is an Issa Gavra, and the Ziris is only mentioned after Shvuas, says the Rosh, it's a clear proof that Naziris is an Issa Gavra. And even though the Nazir is Osir in certain items, he's not allowed to drink wine or eat any of the grape products, they all emanate from the Issa Gavra. The person is saying that I am a Nazir, and I'm a Nazir, and therefore these halachas apply to me. As Rav Shimon Shkop explains, what a person is doing when he says he's a Nazir, says Rav Shimon Shkop, is that he's saying, I want to be higher, I want to be different than everyone else, and that in turn affects, the Torah defines, how does one affect this separation, this elevation? By not drinking wine, by not becoming tamei, by not cutting his hair. But it all emanates as an Issa Gavra. There are Rishonim that say that a Nazir is actually a hybrid of an Issa Gavra and an Issa Cheftza, that he's a Gavra, he has an Issa Gavra because he's not allowed to do certain things, and he's Issa Cheftza because wine and grape products, there's an Issa Cheftza for him to eat them or drink from them. Rabbi Yosef Engel discusses if when the Rabbanon throughout Shas, throughout Halacha, say that certain items are osur, do the Rabbanon have the ability to create Issa Cheftzes, or do the Rabbanon only have the ability to create Issa Gavra? And he wants to suggest that when the Rabbanon say a din, that even though something that maybe may be mutter to eat midaraisa, but is osur to be eaten with Rabbanon, it's only Issa Gavra. They said to this person, don't eat this item, but they don't have the ability to make it into an Issa Cheftza. But then he brings a proof that that contention is incorrect. He says the Gemara Masechet Chulin Dav Zayin teaches us that the Chamor, the donkey of Rav Pinchas ben Yor, refused to eat the Mai. Now we know the Mai is only Osam mid Rabbanon. Now if it's an Issa Cheftza, so we could understand why the donkey did not want to eat this item which was prohibited, albeit that it was only prohibited mid Rabbanon. But if we hold that all Isurei de Rabbanon, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, are Issa Gavras, certainly there is no Issa Gavra on a donkey. And therefore he says that perhaps there are even Issa Cheftzes mid Rabbanon. Ask the Gemara. Pasach b'Kinuyin. Our Mishnah began with the words of Kol Kinyan Nedarim. However, when the Mishnah begins to explain itself, Umefarish Yodis, it explains the halachas of Yod Nedarim, as the Mishnah taught us. Haimel Chaveri Muda Animach. Why did the Mishnah not explain the din that it said? The Su, furthermore, Yodis Inchi. Our Mishnah forget to tell us that there is a halach of Yodis Nedarim. Our Mishnah jumps to explain Yodis Nedarim, but it never said there is a halacha of Yodis Nedarim. And the Rosh, as we said at the beginning of our shir, uses this wording of the Gemara to prove that Loshin Nedarim Mishunah, that the wording of Masech Nedarim is different. Because he says throughout Shas, if the Gemara would have wanted to ask such a question, the Gemara would have said, Yodis man dechar shemayu. Where do we know anything about Yodis? Here the Gemara uses the wording Yodis inchi, Yodis were forgotten. More of a Yerushalmi type of wording. Answers the Gemara, Ayur behind. The Mishnah, the Tana Dud, mentioned Yodis. The Chsuri Mechsra Vachitani. The way the Mishnah is missing. And it should have said, Kalkini Nadarim Nadarim, the Yodis Nadarim Kinadarim. And as the Rishonim explained, if we're saying that the Mishnah's forgetting had omitted some words, why can we say that the first words of the Mishnah should have been called Yodis Nadarim Kinadarim and they were accidentally omitted? Say the Rishonim, to say that the first words of a Mishnah were omitted is highly unlikely. So the Gemara prefers to say the yes, chsuri machsura, the words that are missing, but they're not the first words of the Mishnah, the words that were said later in the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, if the first words of the Mishnah are called kinin nedarim kinedarim. So when the Mishnah comes to explain and illustrate the halachas, v'lifrish kinuyim bereisha, it should have illustrated kinuyim first, if that's the first din that the Mishnah mentions. Answers the Gemara, hahu desalkunei, hahu mefarish bereisha. The Tana explains first the last din it explains, it mentioned. It picks up where it left off. Ketnan, and we find this type of wording in Shas. The Mishnah says in Masechta Shabbos, B'memed Likim, B'memed Eimed Likim. Which wicks can be used for candle lighting Friday night, and which wicks should not be used. And because certain wicks don't burn well, and there's a concern, Shemayata, someone would tilt the fire to make the fire burn better, which would be, of course, Chilul Shabbos. And the Mishnah explains the second and first, Eimed Likim. The Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos says, B'mat Tomnim, B'mat Ein Tomnim. The loch is, one may not insulate his food on Friday afternoon, certainly not in coals, because there's a concern, Shem Yechata B'Gcholim, he may stoke those coals, which on Shabbos, which is an Isser of Havara. And Chazal went on to say that one may not insulate his food in any item which is a Dover Hamaisav Hevel, which increases heat. So the Mishnah says, "V'mat tomnim u'mayin tomnim." What items may be used to insulate food, and what items may not be used? And the Mishnah explains the second and first, "Ein tomnim." The Mishnah Masechta Shabbos says, "V'mat ishi yotza, v'mat eni yotza." Which accessories may a woman wear on Shabbos? Which ones may she not? Which accessories are we concerned that she may take off in the Rishus Rabbim to show to a friend, and then Chas V'Sholem come to carry those accessories? And the Mishnah explains the second and first, like Seitzi Isha, a woman may not wear these following accessories. Ask the Gemara, V'kol Hecha the Pasuch La Mefarish Bereisha, is that true that when the Mishnah mentions two rules, it always explains the second rule first? For Tanan, there's a Mishnah Masechta of a Babasra, Yesh Noichlim Omachilim. There are certain relatives who both have the ability to inherit and bequeath to other relatives, such as a son. A son inherits from his father, and if Chas V'Shalom, a son dies before his father, the father inherits the son. Noichlim V'loy Manchilim, there are certain relatives that inherit but don't bequeath. A son and a mother. A son inherits his mother's Yerusha, but if he dies and his mother is still alive, she doesn't inherit from him. And the Mishnah explains the first rule first. Ve'elin noichlem anchilim. There's a Mishnah Masechta Yevamos. Yesh mutaris lebaleim v'asuris liyevmeim. There are certain women who were allowed to be married to their husband, but may not be married to the Yavam. A woman who is married to a husband who is a Kayin, and then her husband dies, so she by definition becomes an almana, and perhaps also a yavama. And her brother-in-law, her husband's brother, is a kohen gadol, is not allowed to marry almana. Mitaris liyuvmeim, vesuris libemneim. There are certain women that may marry the yuvmeim, and not their husbands. A grusha was married to a kohen gadol, cannot, was not supposed to be married to her husband, but her brother-in-law, who's not a kohen gadol, she can be married to. And the Mishnah explains the first thing first, Eilu Mataris Kabalayim Vasuras Liyuvmeim. Another example, the Mishnah says, Masechta Menachos, Yesh Tu'unos Shemen Ulavona. There are certain carbon mincha that require both oil and lavona be brought in them. The mincha soilus, machvas, macheshes. Shemen Veloy Lavona. There are certain carbon mincha that only require shemen and not lavona. The mincha's nesachim. Veilus Tuna Shem Levina, and the Mishnah first explains the first din. Another example from Masechta Menachos, Yesh Tunos Hagosha. There are certain Karim Minchas that require Hagosha, that they be brought to the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. And we ain't Tunos Hatnufa, and they don't require that the Kayin put his hand under the hands of the owners and wave the Karim Mincha. There are those that require tunufa v'loy hagosha. A carbon minchas chayta requires hagosha and not tunufa. The light shemen of mitzayra, the carbon asham of a mitzayra, the bikurim require tunufa and not hagosha. And the Mishnah explains first, veil tunufa hagosha. The Mishnah, Masechta Bechayrus, Yesh Bechala Nachlav and Bechala Koyin. There are certain individuals that are Bechar, they get the double portion of the Yerusha, but they're not Bechar to Koyin. A man has a son, it's his firstborn son, but to his wife, it's not her firstborn. Or you can have Bechala Koyin, then Bechala Nachla. A person could be a Bechar for Hilchus Pet Rechem. He's his mother's firstborn son, child son, but he's not a Bechar to his father. And the Mishnah explains the first and first. Vez Bechala Nachla, then Bechala Koyin. Answers the Gemara, Alei Mishum the Avshalei. In all of those situations, would a Mishnah explain the first and first? Befarash Ahud Behasach Bereisha. Because there are so many dinim, and as the Mefarash explains, we didn't want to get confused because there are so many details, so the Mishnah stays very structured. It explains the first din and all of its details first, and then goes on to the second din and to its details. Ask the Gemara, but only under such circumstances do we explain the first din first. Otherwise, we explain the second din, we pick up where we left off. Ask the Gemara, is that a hard and fast rule? The Mishnah Masech, the Shabbos, discusses with what an animal may go outside on Shabbos and with what it may not go outside Shabbos. What is it considered like a malbush, or something that wears, which is mutter, and what is considered a masui, a burden? There aren't many halachas, and yet the Ketani Yotze Gomel, the Mishnah explains the first in first. Ella says the Gemara lav dafka. There is no hard and fast rule. Zimna mefarish ahu the pasuk bereisha. Sometimes the Mishnah explains the first and first. The zimna ahu the salt mefarish bereisha. And sometimes the Mishnah picks up where it left off first. And there is no necessarily formula or format that has to be followed at all. Mishnayis. Our Mishnah at this point is the type of a situation where the Gemara picks up where it left off. First it said kol kinin nedarim k'nedarim. Then it said kol. Even though it's not mentioned, Kayodus Nadarim Knadarim, and then the Mishnah explains the second in, where it picked up first, where it left off first.